Our first feature this week is taken from the Norwich Seeker. If you enjoy eating out in the city, you've probably noticed that several venues have been shutting up for good. In this feature, Richard Hughes, chef director at the Assembly House, has written his own revealing account of the challenges of running a hospitality business in the current economic climate. Richard Hughes' article is read by Sam Elmhurst.
Norfolk's burgeoning hospitality sector has seen yet more high-profile closures, most notably the sudden closure of the Last Wine Bar, part of Norwich's restaurant scene for more than four decades. The owner-operator cited the cost-of-living crisis, spiralling running costs and a decline in customer spending as the reasons why the Last has ceased to be viable. And the Last of the Last was the latest in a list of fatalities across the county. Frank's Bar, the Duck at Stanhope, Erpingham House, Frankie and Benny's, Donna Bay Tanta Ann, and from what we hear, there are more to come. Potentially many more. In addition to these businesses trying to keep afloat on the choppy waters of trading in today's economy, there are also those who have been very open about their struggles and those that have scaled back exciting expansion plans. It's so, so sad. Some of these businesses offered excellent food and good service, but we've all struggled to balance the books when faced with rising costs. And the thing to note here is that the problem is very much cost-based. People are keener than ever to eat out, and so lack of customers isn't an issue for most. The hospitality business is naturally made up of positive, confident people, and as one door closes, someone else comes along to take up the mantle. Closures have always been part and parcel of the restaurant trade. But many of the venues that are closing are seasoned operators with many years of experience who just can't see the light at the end of a very expensive tunnel. So just why are these competent, capable veteran owners shutting up shop? Well, the quadruple whammy of the cost of living crisis, Brexit, the war in Ukraine, and a government in utter chaos have combined to make a perfect storm, with food and energy costs spiralling out of control, alongside a cost of living squeeze that is affecting us all. Ingredient costs increase daily, with a 40% increase on dairy, eggs and butchery within a year, and additionally, supplies have never been as unreliable as they are today. I mean, you try running a business that serves 350 afternoon teas a day, with all the cakes that entails, when you are struggling to get hold of eggs. And utility bills have seen 400% rises compared with the previous year. Wages are finally, rightfully, falling into line with comparable industries. But the relentless search for staff often means you can't supply the demand for your products, leading to restricted opening hours. If you're too busy, you risk the staff you have jumping ship, citing the understandable pressures of continually working shorthanded. Now, if you need any confirmation of what I'm saying, just take a look at the opening hours of many pubs and the restaurants and hotels on the North Norfolk coast. At the very height of the summer season, their offer is undermined by the staff rota. And of course, emptier pockets means everyone is looking for value for money. But despite our bank accounts looking emptier than ever before, the desire to eat out or order in doesn't seem to be disappearing. Once, eating out was for high days and holidays, but the arrival of multiple chain restaurants and the advent of food as fashion has created a generation used to dining out three or four times a week, or ordering in as opposed to cooking. Yet Britons still expect their food to be cheap. It's little wonder so many are balking at a £20 price tag for fish and chips. I could buy these ingredients at a supermarket for a fiver, they'll tell you. Well, yes. Yes, you could buy the ingredients for the dinner you eat out for less money than you're paying for a meal. But you're not factoring in doing your own washing up, paying your mortgage or your rent, paying all your power bills, serving your own food, putting flowers on your table, taking the multiple health and safety courses necessary to run a restaurant, and paying the insurance bills, paying for yourself to go on professional courses, paying into your pension, creating, designing and printing your own menus. I could go on. And then there's another thorny issue. Is the supermarket you use paying its suppliers a fair price? Well, most of the independent restaurants here in Norfolk are working directly with growers and farmers and playing their own part in the local economy, ensuring those suppliers can keep offering the very best produce for years to come, bolstering our county's food heritage at a price. And is it so terrible that restaurants expect a tiny profit at the end of a back-breaking shift? And without it, there's no innovation, no expansion, nothing new for us to showcase on Instagram. And no one expects to work for no gain, surely. An industry champion, Countertalk, recently laid out the reason why so many restaurants are closing their doors via the medium of a simple pasta dish, pappardelle, with slow-cooked beef ragu with a 2021 menu price of £12. And then it illustrated how much you'd have to raise prices to get to that fair price from 2021. Now, in 2023, that same meal would have to rise from £12 to £19.82. Any profit on top would then be subject to COVID loan repayments, contribute towards huge rent hikes, and then the owners might be able to make a wage. Well, this takes the profit margin down from £1.40 in 2021, already pretty tight, to 14 pence. That's why busy, buzzy, brilliant businesses are going under. Well, no wonder then, the industry saying, which has never been more appropriate, if you earn money from food, then you certainly do earn it. Even the most supportive, understanding customers would struggle with a 61% price increase, which means the trade has had to adapt. Shorter menus, cheaper ingredients, reduced services, reducing customer service points with apps, contactless payments, or the owner simply working longer, harder, and with far less reward. On a good day, often a 15-hour long day, most independent restaurateurs aim to make a 10% profit on what they sell, after paying 20% VAT. But, of course, that 10% is reliant on a host of other variables which we can't control. The dishwasher might, and often does, break. We might smash a tray of expensive teapots. Customers in our fully booked restaurant might decide not to turn up. There are myriad of reasons why things can, and do, go wrong. So, as an operator, you need to be expensive and busy, or have the ability to service and sustain high volume, which means many small independents are struggling with broken business models, and we must prepare to say goodbye to many more. If there is a bright side to be had in the midst of all this turmoil, it's to never underestimate the ability of the hospitality sector to survive and, indeed, thrive. I've been in the business for some 45 years now. It's probably more volatile now than at any stage of my career, but if you need something sorted, ask a caterer.
We'll now have our second feature, which also comes from the Norwich Seeker, and looks at a different aspect of the local food scene. It was written by Jackie Burgoyne, who found out how the city's biggest food bank is having to change in the face of rising demand. J. Jackie spent a week speaking to volunteers, employees, and people using the food bank to find out how the charity is coping. Here's Sam Elmhurst to present Jackie's findings.
Thank you, Sam, and our thanks go again to the Norwich Seeker for allowing us to use their material.